Hi there, you're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in North Bushy. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Today we are focusing, with a couple of weeks to go till Easter, on the cross. And most of you who have been here for a little while and where know that we've been journeying through the story of the beginning of the Bible, when God calls Abraham and then through his descendants to Joseph. And we reach the point where Joseph's family is all in Egypt. And so I'm going to read the story of God's rescue plan for the Israelites in Egypt. And then we're going to talk about how that links to the cross. So I'm going to read the story. For most of you who know this story, it's very familiar. I'm going to read it from a slightly different version today and see what the story actually means to us as we read this. So let's read this and then we'll talk about the cross. So Joseph and his brothers grew old and died, but their children's children stayed on in Egypt, where they became a very large family. Later on, a new king began to rule, but this Pharaoh didn't remember Joseph, and he didn't like God's people. He made them into his slaves and beat them and made them work harder and harder. God's people cried out to God to rescue them, and God heard them. He remembered his promise to Abraham. He would look after his people. He would find a way to set them free. One day, Moses was looking after sheep when something caught his eye. A bush was behaving very oddly. It was flickering with flames, but its leaves weren't burning up. He took a closer look. "Moses," boomed a big voice. Moses leapt back. The bush was talking to him. "I have heard my people's cries," God said. "I have seen their tears, so I have come down to rescue them. Go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go free." Moses was afraid, but God said, "I will be with you." So Moses went to Pharaoh. "Pharaoh," Moses began. "God says..." "God?" said Pharaoh. "Never heard of him." Moses kept going. "God says, let his people go free." "Why should I?" Pharaoh said. "Don't want to, won't." So he didn't. So God gave Pharaoh 10 warnings called plagues. First, God turned the river Nile into blood. No one could drink the water, but still Pharaoh would not let them go. So God made frogs came hopping and leaping and jumping. "In your bed, frogs. In your hair, frogs. In your soup, frogs. All over, everywhere, frogs. Make them go away," Pharaoh screamed. "Then your people can go." So God took the frogs away. But Pharaoh changed his mind. "You can't go," he said. Then God sent zillions of gnats. But still Pharaoh said, "No." So then God sent swarms of flies. "Flies buzzing in your eyes, flies." And after that, sickness and horrible boils and huge hailstones and a storm of locusts, then darkness when it should have been day, until it seemed that the whole world, creation and everything, was coming undone, falling back into darkness and emptiness and nothingness. But each time, Pharaoh said, "Make it stop, and then I'll let them go." And each time when God made it stop, Pharaoh changed his mind and said, "Actually, no, you can't go." Finally, Moses warned Pharaoh, "Obey God, or he will have to send the worst thing of all." Pharaoh just laughed. So God said, "The oldest boy in each family of Egypt must die, but my people will be safe." God told his people to take their best lamb, to kill it, and to put some of its blood on their front doors. "When God passes over your house," Moses explained, "God will see the blood and know that the lamb died instead of you." That night, it was just as God said. Suddenly, piercing the darkness, echoing down the corridors of the palace, came a blood-curdling scream. Pharaoh's oldest son had died. At last, Pharaoh did what God said. "Get out," Pharaoh shouted. "Just go." And so that very night, Moses and God's people fled out of Egypt and out of slavery. They were free at last. God's people would always remember this great rescue and call it Passover. But an even greater rescue was coming. Many years later, God was going to do it again. He was going to come down once more to rescue his people. But this time, God was going to set them free forever and ever. Wow, what a story. And we read in the New Testament that Jesus was sitting with his friends, his disciples, just like this. And they were sitting remembering that story, the Passover. And there were certain foods that they ate to remind themselves of this. And what's going to happen now is Charles and Kirsty are going to pass around some lamb and some pita bread, or some bread made without yeast, because this is a sign of what God did for the Israelites back when Moses was around to bring rescue, to save them. And so as we eat the lamb, and they're going to pass it around now, we are remembering that God was announcing his judgment. He was pronouncing the judgment on the whole of Egypt. But to protect the Israelites, something else had to die. So the firstborn were dying of Egypt, and to protect the Israelites, someone or something had to die. And the lamb was sacrificed instead of the Israelites. And the lamb, as the blood flowed from the lamb and was then painted on the doorposts, was there as to cover the sins of Israel. So where God was pronouncing judgment, the blood was covering the sin. And the body of the lamb was broken to bring freedom to the Israelites. So as the lamb died, the freedom was given to the Israelites, and they went. And they were taking flatbreads or bread made without yeast to signal that they didn't need to carry their sin with them. It had been laid on that lamb. No sin in that bread, or no yeast in that bread, to symbolize no sin. And that there was a journey to be had. So they didn't have time to cook bread and let it rise. That there was a journey to be gone on, because God was setting them free. God set the Israelites free from slavery. And the interesting thing is that we think of freedom means do what you want. It's like, go crazy, do whatever it is that you want to do, because that means freedom. But that isn't what God's form of freedom is, because actually that's what leads to anarchy, or leads to chaos, because everyone doing whatever they want means we all live selfishly. We all live on our own. So God wanted them to live in freedom, and he gave them rules for their benefit. But the Israelites continued to turn away from them. And the Bible calls this sin, where we turn our back on what God wanted us to do. And that's freedom. And that sin leads to slavery. So the sin that Israel continued to commit, even though they were no longer in slavery in Egypt, they then enslaved themselves by turning away from God and living in their sin. And so a greater rescue plan was needed, a greater sacrifice. The lamb would not be enough. So as we eat our lamb, we remember that it was a great story, a great act of God to take away Israel from Egypt, to remove them, to rescue them. But the lamb was not enough. There needed to be more. And to live a life permanently in freedom, a greater sacrifice was needed. And that's where Jesus comes in. So what is our part in this? This is a great story, the story of Israel. But what's our part? Well, we are like the Israelites. We turn away from God. And I wonder if I could have three volunteers to come and help me. Oh, excellent. Esther, Eli, and Josiah, do you want to come forward? Excellent. So I'm going to show you what it's like, what it means for each one of us, this story. And why don't you come over here, guys, so that we don't accidentally knock the communion table. Okay, so we're going to have Josiah as God, okay? And Esther is us. Esther represents all of us. And this is how we were created. You can hold hands, it's okay. You're not going to hurt each other, are you?
Yeah.
You are? Okay. So this is what God intended for all of us, that God would be in a relationship with us all the time, that it's like he was holding our hands and continuing to walk us forward, and this would be life. But we separated ourselves from God because I'm going to make you sin, I'm afraid, Eli. So Eli is going to be sin, and sin comes in the way, and sin holds on to us. And so, no, you don't hold hand, because God can't be near sin. God still wants to be in a relationship with us, but the sin gets in the way. It stops us from getting there. And the thing, what sin does is that it enslaves us. So even as much as we might try, as much as Esther might try and pull away from Eli, as much as we might want to, sin holds on to us because we can't get rid of the sin ourselves. And so if we carry on like this, sin walks us away from God and we can't get back to him. And this is the good news of Jesus. This is what he did for us on a cross, is that he took sin on himself. He allowed himself to be separated from God by sin and take us back to God, back into a relationship with him, back into all that we were supposed to do and all that we were supposed to be. And then Jesus comes into the relationship with us and sin is no more. And Jesus only did this by his sacrifice on the cross. Where sin leads to death, where sin has taken us away from God, where sin has taken us to slavery, where we should die, Jesus died instead of us. Thank you, guys. Why don't you take a seat? You see, Jesus shed his blood, just like the lamb in the Passover. He shed his blood to cover our sin so that the sin is no more. And his body was broken so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can live in freedom. One of the books in the Bible, in Colossians, it says, "You were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet, a great yet, now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ." And so as we sit here today, wherever we come from, whether we're children, whether we're grown-ups, whether we've been Christians for a while or whether we haven't, the death of Jesus on the cross is so significant. We cannot move away from it. In order for us to have a relationship with God, we need to accept Jesus and accept his sacrifice for us. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear that slavery again, because we can have Jesus who brings us back into a relationship with him. And we know that's not where the story ends. The story ends with Jesus raised again, giving us hope forever. We don't need to fear death. And today, we don't need to live a life of slavery. Wherever we are, whatever we've done in our past, there is no shame, no guilt. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so if we come into a relationship with him today, we can live a life of freedom. Don't let anything hold you back. The sin doesn't need to hold us back. It is forever that Jesus sacrificed himself. And so we come to remember Jesus' sacrifice today as we take communion. And just like Jesus' disciples were sat down, just like this, remembering the Passover, we can sit down and we can remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave. I'm going to read from Matthew the story of the Last Supper. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" "As you go into the city," he told them, "you will see a certain man. Tell him, 'The teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body. And in the same way, he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we're going to take communion now as the band begin to come up. And this is an opportunity for all of us, young and old, to accept Jesus again into our lives, remembering that he has set us free, that he has brought us back into a relationship with him. And as we take the bread, we remember that his body was broken for us. It was torn for us so that we can be free. And we can take the cup and we can drink, remembering that his blood covers our sins. And so Charles and Kirsty are going to pass round these elements. And I encourage us all to take these in our own time, in our own way, remembering to give thanks to God for all that he has done for us. And as we do so, I invite us all to invite Jesus again into our lives, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th. Whatever, however you come, take the bread and the wine and say, Jesus, I want you to be in my life. I need you. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us so that we can be free. So we drink this and remember to live a life of freedom. Let's pray and then we can begin to sing and remember Christ's sacrifice. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We love you. Thank you that you loved us enough to die on a cross for us. And we give our life back to you. Have your way in us, we pray. And reveal to us again your love and set us free from all those things in the past. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.